Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he reigned victorious.
This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. If you have a Bible like mine, that's page 538. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're talking about this month worship. Because this is Thanksgiving month, and we are thankful, and one way to express our thankfulness and one way to honor our God is to be worshipers of our King. And we've talked about worship in weariness and worship as a weapon, and today we're going to talk about worship as watering the promises of God. So we'll get into that, but and as I was studying then, there was a new dimension that the Lord kind of added in, so we're going to just enjoy our time in the Word today. Aren't you grateful to have in your hand the Scripture?
Yes.
That helps us to align ourselves with God's way, God's will. Oh, I don't know what God's will is. It's time to put your good devotional library books back to the shelf again and get out the Scripture. Because if we continue in the Word, we're His disciples indeed. We know the truth, and the truth makes us free. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, workers that need not to be ashamed. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds by the Scripture so that we can prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And it is so important to receive the incorruptible seed of the word that is life-changing. So important to be a person of the word. You know, God says, my thoughts are above your thoughts and my ways are above your ways. And he didn't say that so that we would be discouraged. He did that as an invitation to embrace his thoughts and to embrace his ways. How many of you know your way used to be stingy?
Yes.
But when embrace his way, it's kind and generous. And so it's important for us to allow him to change us, that we're growing up into who Jesus is, growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus, and that we are more and more a reflection of him. So it's good to spend time in the Word. And so we learn here how Jehoshaphat was a good king and led the people in a righteous path. Righteousness, I prayed for our president this week. I hope you pray for our president, pray for our leaders. And that God will help him in wisdom, facing the impending danger that is out there, and that he will have righteous counsel and righteous ideas, and that God will help him to lead our nation in those paths of righteousness, because righteousness will exalt the nation, as it has. That's why we're blessed. Because we're perfect? Absolutely not perfect. But that we have endeavored to honor God as a nation. And so God likes that stuff. and so Jehoshaphat had led his people in that day in a path of honoring God. It was imperfect, like we are. But they had tried to honor God, and because of that, blessings ensued. And several nations began to take notice of how blessed they were, and they thought, well, we're strong enough if we come together to whip them and take their goodies. And so three nations came against Jehoshaphat, And Jehoshaphat received word, and his first response, and we've talked about this, his first response, his human response, that immediate response that each of us have when we're faced with a challenge is that natural human reaction. That's why the scripture says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Because sudden fear is just that, because we're human beings, that real quick visceral response to something tough. But Jehoshaphat moved past that fear. It says when he received word that these nations had come against, they're down by the cliff of Ziz, and they've come to take us out. And it says Jehoshaphat feared, and then he set himself to seek the Lord. And we talked about many examples from the scripture where the first response of Nehemiah, as he evaluated the brokenness of his beautiful, beloved city of Jerusalem, not one stone upon another, and he went out and surveyed all that ruin and the rubble of his city, and he sat down and he wept. That was his natural human response, that emotional response. And aren't you glad for our emotions, because it's an indication that we're human and that we're living and that we're connected to people. And it's good, but we can't base our life decisions on those things. And so he sat down and wept and had a good cry. But then he stood up from the ashes and said, Lord, use me, and began to mobilize and activate people and orchestrate the rebuilding of that city. And so victory can come out of the ruin if we don't stay in our natural human response. And we don't camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So Jehoshaphat rather had that natural response like each of us do. That quick flash of, oh my. But we have to say, okay, Father, I want to move past that to a God response. What would you have me to do? What feelings would you have me to embrace? And it's so important for us to take thoughts captive and cast down imaginations and reframe a circumstance so that we paint God into the picture. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. So in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there's a great multitude against you from beyond. How many of you know it's a bummer when people are against you? Yeah. You're going around crazy stuff. And a great multitude against you beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and they be in Hazazon and Tamar, which is in Engedi, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah, and they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they're doing the right things. Man, when tough times come, do the right thing. They set themselves to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not our God in heaven? Are you not God in heaven, rather? And oh, don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Can you notice that there's a difference in Jehoshaphat's attitude from being fearful? He's lifting up his voice like a trumpet and reminding God of who he is and reminding God of his covenant agreement with his people. And didn't you say this and didn't you say that? And it's so important for us to put God in remembrance of his word. It's not presumptuous at all. He invites us, welcomes, and in fact instructs us to do so. Lord, here's your promise. I'm standing on your promise. Here is your word to me. I'm standing on your word to me. Here is my inheritance in Christ and what you already purchased, not even thinking about whether or not you want to do it. You've already done it at the cross. It's mine, and I receive it, and I claim it by faith in Jesus' name. That's not presumptuous. That's Bible living. So Jehoshaphat said, hey, aren't you the God of all the nations of the heathen? And don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In your hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? Aren't you our God that did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people? And you said, verse 8, that we will dwell in this land and we build a sanctuary here for you in your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we're going to stand in this house before you. We're going to stand in your presence, for your name is in this house. and we're going to cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and help. Isn't that good? Amen. Boldly claiming God's promises and covenant with his people. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and of Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, they've come to destroy us, to cast us out of our possession that you've given us to inherit. Will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. What a picture. Amen. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, Levi, to the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, you all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, hearken, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, behold, they're come up by the cliff of Ziz. You'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So worship is involved here in this whole encounter. And he bowed his head with his face to the ground. There's one thing that's beautiful about bowing and worship before God. And that is that it gives us a unique opportunity to have our heart above our head. Thank you for your excitement about that. Virtually all of our lives and all of our existence on the planet, our head is above our heart, except when we're bowing in worship before God. And it is so important that we live in such a way that our heart is above our head. Everyone drive safely. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Happy Thanksgiving. And verse 21, it says that when Jehoshaphat consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, of Moab, and of Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." And then it took them in these all these armies, which probably would happen if we just stay out of things sometime. I don't want to get political, but all these armies ended up killing each other. And there's none left. They just all killed each other because they're crazy. And it took God's people 3 days to collect all the spoil from the bodies. And a good result. So what the enemy intended for their devastation and destruction, God turned for their blessing and for their advancement and caused good things to happen. And if we will be faithful to God and be people of worship and prayer, that same outcome will be ours, maybe not overnight, but in time, if we will live that life of worship and praise and not allowing the enemy to frame our expectation, but to let our faith frame our expectation and God's promises to inform our decision-making and our actions, that God can turn our captivity and can bring blessing out of what the enemy means for our destruction. God can turn for good. He'll cause all things to work together for our good because we're called according to his purpose. And so that's so important. So worship is what we're talking about. Now, we looked at Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, and we won't have you turn there, but let me remind you in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were preaching and ministering, and ministered to a woman who was demon-possessed and was a palm reader or tarot card reader, whatever she was, a soothsayer, the scripture says. And she, these guys had found her out and were marketing her demon skills at a profit. They were merchandising her pain, and Paul set her free by delivering her in the name of Jesus, and her gift was gone. And so she couldn't do her deal anymore, and so they were angry, and so they reported all that Paul and Silas had done and made false, trumped up charges and so on. And they beat them, and they put them into jail, into the inner prison. They charged the jailer, don't let these guys out of your sight. Probably some threat if he lost control of those prisoners. And at midnight, it says there in Acts 16 that Paul and Silas begin to praise and sing and worship. And the other prisoners heard them, so it wasn't a silent, unspoken prayer. Those are always interesting. Usually the problem's not silent. And so they lifted up their voice in the jailhouse, and when they began to sing and praise, just like is the situation here, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments in the enemy camp, and destruction came upon those who were against God's people. And when they sang praises at midnight in the prison house, in the jailhouse, in the dungeon, if you will, an earthquake took place, and suddenly everyone's doors were open, and everyone's shackles were loosed, and all, it's so amazing, when we get blessed as God's people, it spills out over onto other people. And that's exactly what happened there. And so not only were Paul and Silas freed, but others were freed as well. They had a great revival meeting. Paul got invited to the jailer's house. They tended to their wounds, fixed him some supper. The whole house became believers. It was a miracle of God because they worshiped in weariness. Now, when you have been threatened and beaten and commanded not to preach, not to teach, not to love people in the name of Jesus, and you're doing the right thing for the right reason, and you're punished for it, we need some refreshing. Yes. And in that moment of weariness, Paul and Silas, anyone in here ever get weary, or am I alone in that? In that moment of weariness, they lifted up their voice in praise and adoration to God, and the Lord turned the tide of that weariness. Worshiping in weariness. Worshiping as a warfare. 2 Chronicles 20, we've read that. How Jehoshaphat, they used worship as a tool of warfare. And the worshipers led the army right down into the enemy camp. And it turned the tide of the impending doom for good for God's people. Oh, this is so good. I have to tell you, I'm enjoying it myself. I can't wait to hear what I say next. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. This is my side journey, if you'll be okay with that. I want to point out that Jesus, the reason we go here is because Jesus calls us to be worshipers. I don't know what your worship life looks like, but I know for every one of us in this room, it can be improved on. That in weariness, don't just sit in weariness and stew in weariness, but worship Him. Get out your favorite music, whatever it is. We have a variety of musical styles that come through here. I promise you, over the course of the year, someone will be here that you connect with musically. And go buy, invest in yourself, and if they minister to you, go buy all their CDs and put them on when there's weariness and just begin to worship God and praise Him in the midst of the midnight hour whatever's going on as a weapon against the enemy's ploy, and be a worshiper. Thank you for holy grunts, and I appreciate that very kind. Well, praise God. Thank you for coming. Be a worshiper. Oh, Lord, I worship you. You're so good. You love me. You care about me. Good worship today, by the way, Pastor John. Thank you so much. Good worship. So be worshipers. So Jesus invites us to be worshipers. And in John's Gospel, chapter 4, I love the story of the woman at the well. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, because I think it's such a pattern for you and for me to minister life and hope and minister under the power of the Holy Spirit and minister by the gifts of the Spirit right in the marketplace. You know, I think sometimes we give the impression that the only time the gifts of the Spirit are going to flow is when we have the great special speaker from far away and fly them in and have just the right worship and just the right moment, right? And then the gifts of the Spirit can flow. No, you can be out in the weariness of a dusty day, thirsty at the well, and the gifts of the Spirit can begin to flow through you to help someone who's confused, like this woman at the well indeed was. So Jesus is traveling along, and it says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria, verse 4, and he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said, "Could you give me something to drink?" For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat, violating social protocol, I might add, and religious constraints of Jesus' day to speak to this woman. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? I'm a woman of Samaria. The Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans," violating the prejudice of the day. See, Jesus has just shown us how to break all the rules with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You don't just break all the rules for breaking the rules. You don't have anything to do with us. Why are you asking me for a drink? You people don't have anything to do with us people. I help you more than you know. Jesus answered and said, if you knew who it was, the gift of God, and you would ask of me and I would have given you living water. And she said, you don't even have anything to draw with out of the well. She's not, you know, she's like the disciples, kind of confused about where Jesus is going. Are you greater than our father Jacob? And Jesus said, whosoever drinks from this water in this well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst. But the water that I will give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I don't ever have to come back to the well again," still not understanding. Jesus said, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You're right, you have no husband. You've been married five times, five husbands, and the person you're living with is not your husband, so you answered that right." And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." And so because he's a prophet, now she's going to engage in her religious system. It's interesting to talk to people. And I've said this many times, I usually don't tell people I'm a minister. Not that I'm ashamed of it by any means, but it changes them. It doesn't change me whether I'm a preacher and carpenter. That doesn't, but it changes people. Oh, you're a... So they want to start talking about their uncle who's a deacon in Tupelo. About whom I don't really care at this point, but... Big Baptist church, big Baptist. I've been there many times, the pastor, I can't remember his name, but my uncle's a deacon. Cool. So that's the mode that she went into. Now, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem we worship, and have to do it this way. It's amazing how hard we work at keeping ourselves in bondage. Did that go off? It's interesting to watch people, how hard they work at keeping themselves in some kind of bondage rather than walking in the freedom that the Lord has purchased for us. It's fun. I love social media. So enjoying that so much. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. My kids opened my account, and then nothing happened for probably a couple of years, and then I kind of got interested in it. But it's just rife with people, and you can tell what their favorite way to put themselves in bondage. Just look at their stuff, and you'll see how they want to beat themselves up or beat others up. It's wonderful. And then the Lord gives me wisdom of how to goad them a little bit. Holy Spirit just comes on me like that. It's a great gift. It's a great gift. So she goes into that worshiping here and worshiping there, and worship on Saturday, worship on Sunday. Should we do it in a communion once a month, or communion once a week, or should we communion every day at home? And all that kind of stuff that just do it how you want. Are you here? She goes into all that. And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." It's not going to be an issue of where you worship. "You worship you know not what, but we know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, in fact, the hour now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And I'll just pause there and just tell you that Jesus invites us and reminds us that it is time to worship God in spirit and in truth, that our Father is looking for us to worship him in spirit and in truth, to be a worshiper in weariness, to be a worshiper as a form of warfare against the onslaught of the enemy against us, is a powerful, supernatural way of connecting with the God potential that is available to us. It's interesting to me that Jesus invites a woman who is deficient in her relationship skills to be a worshiper. She was, on a human level, what in my world, with my other hat, is called intimacy impairment. She was in her relationships, in her sixth marriage, so to speak, she's broken. But God invites us to intimacy with him. Yes. That will bring healing to emotional intimacy with others. Spiritual intimacy with him results in healthy emotional intimacy and connection with others. Galatians says, if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life. Paul told Timothy, godliness is profitable in all areas, to all things. He starts out there, he says, Timothy, bodily exercise profiteth little. Bodily exercise profiteth little. From the Bible. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Dr. Fred Price, I heard him say one time, some of you need to get the little it profiteth. But he needs to mind his own business. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable. Godliness is profitable. Godliness is profitable unto all things and has promise for the life which now is and the life which is to come. Do not allow yourself to relegate all the blessings till you get to heaven. Has promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So now let me get to my one point. Worship in weariness. Worship as a weapon against the enemy that will come against us, and he will. Emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, in all kinds of ways. The enemy wants to creep in, and Jesus said he will come. To many are the afflictions of the righteous, the scripture says, and God delivers us out of them all. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have that life abundantly. So we know that Paul says, be sober, be vigilant. We have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's on his way, but good news. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're anointed to bring defeat to the attack of hell. Amen. It's good stuff. Philippians 4, and we'll conclude right here. Philippians 4. And we're going to bring it right into this moment, this week. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. The message says, don't fret or worry, but let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. I like that message translation. But here in King James, it says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Everyone say, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So how many of you know that sometimes we just kind of deliver our request package off at heaven's doorstep? Okay, God, here's my stuff. Here's my stuff this week. I need this and I need that and I need you to bless this and bless that and help so-and-so. And here it is. Amen. But we forget this part of letting our request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. See, worship is water to the seed of prayer that we sow. So my third worship point here is we worship in weariness, we worship as a weapon, and we worship as water over the promises of God and those things that we're asking him for and we're requesting of him and the blessings and benefits of a believer, that we water those with our worship. And with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. Be careful for nothing. Don't fret, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, verse 6, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think there's something about that worship component that puts us over when it comes to the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds through Christ. When we make our request known to God, that's one part of that journey. And then when we do that with thanksgiving and we begin to praise him and thank him by faith, it brings us to a place of peace. Well, I made my request known to God. Jesus said, what things are every desire? When you pray, hope that you have them in the future. No, Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Yes. And you shall have them. So if when you're praying, if you believe you receive, it's going to be very natural to be thankful. Yeah. Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive. When you pray, not when it shows up, then you think, oh, hey, hallelujah. We might thank God then too. But he said, when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have. And so if we're praying, and while we're praying, Lord, here's my situation, we're believing we receive, it's very natural to give thanks in the middle of that prayer. Lord, I thank you that you hear me. Oh, I praise you for the answer, for the solution, for the breakthrough, for the promise. Whatever it is that you're praying about, do that with thanksgiving. And worshiping as a watering source over the seed of your prayer and the seed of your faith and the seed of your expectation. And then God's peace arrests us and keeps and stands guard over our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be a worshiper. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege of worship. And we make a determination that we're going to worship even in weariness, for worship will cause the weariness to lift as it did with Paul and Silas. That we're going to worship as a weapon because worship arrests the attack of the enemy and brings victory. And what the enemy means for devastation or discouragement or destruction gets turned into deliverance because we worship as a weapon, as did Jehoshaphat. And then, Lord, we thank you for worship being a water over the seed of faith and our seed of expectation, because you told us that when we pray, we should believe we receive. You said that we should think on things that are good and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy. And when we make our requests known to you, we begin to think on the breakthrough and lovely things and virtuous things and all of that you told us in Philippians. But as we make our requests known to you, we do that with thanksgiving. And we water our request, and we water our prayer, and we water our expectation, and we water our faith with thanksgiving and with worship. And you said that peace that passes understanding would stand guard over our hearts and minds through Jesus. What a great, great, powerful tool you have given us as those in relationship with you, the powerful gift of worship. And just like in human relationships, it's so important, it's so vital to praise people, thank people, honor people, use words that will encourage them in their journey. We thank you for that ability to refresh and to bless others with our appreciation. But Lord, so vital in our relationship with you. And you are seeking for believers who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And you, Jesus, you said it is now time. Not worry about whether you're in church or not in church, or this mountain, or this camp or that camp, or this conference or another. You said that wasn't going to be the issue, but the worship was the issue. To worship in spirit and in truth. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just rest upon every person in this room, and that they would begin to absorb to their inner man, and that that would work its way out through their life and their attitude and their thinking, the significance and the importance of worship. All of us can improve and enhance on that. Don't do it as works or to try to get you to like us. We worship because we know that you do love us. So let this never be a human effort to earn a blessing, but just to be a thanks for the blessings that we enjoy and that you have provided for us, and that the promises of God that are ours. Holy Spirit, take these words and individually for every person in this room, just minister to them in the exactly the right way. that will transform their worship life. God bless your people.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.